We're doing a series, and we're calling the series Soar. And if you weren't here on New Year's Eve, make sure that you listen to that message or watch it on YouTube, because there was a lot of ground that we already covered concerning parallels between the eagle and a Christian. You were created to soar. And the word soar means to rise or to increase dramatically. To rise or to ascend or to elevate. It is the plan of God. The 115th Psalm says it very clearly. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. And that's my prayer for you today. We also looked at Isaiah 40 and verse 31 in the Passion Translation. And this is a major key to soaring. It says, but those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles. They will run their races without growing weary, and they will walk through life without giving up. Amen. That intertwining your heart with His heart. Amen. And so when you do that, when you wait on God, understand in this season in which we're in, this is not a passive waiting. It involves an active engagement, intertwining your heart with His heart. And the Word of God tells us that there's an exchange that takes place. I love that. Where our human weakness is replaced by divine strength. And one thing that we learned last Tuesday night is that eagles soar above the storm. Eagles do not fear the storm. It simply uses the wind to ascend higher. And so the Spirit of the Lord lifts you and I up above the curse with the winds of His Spirit and enables to believe us to believe for the impossible. Amen? Amen. And then another thing that eagles do, it's very interesting. They go through what they call a molting process, which is crucial for their survival. And basically the molting process is where they shed their old feathers and they replace them with new ones. And as a result, they grow new ones to maintain strength and the ability to soar. And did you know that the eagles have the largest and longest lifespan of any bird? And so as we step into 2025, we must shed some old habits. We must get rid of sin and those mindsets that weigh us down. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let's get rid of those old feathers. And the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So a weight is anything that hinders a believer's spiritual progress. If we're going to soar, how many of you are going to soar this year? We must not let those weights pull us down. And so we could talk about what those weights are. And incidentally, I am not a Weight Watcher. I don't know what weights God is telling you to lay aside, but I know the weights that He's telling me to lay aside. And so we shouldn't be Weight Watchers with one another. We should spend time looking in the mirror. Amen. But if we're going to soar, we cannot let those weights pull us down. And so the key point is this: let go of the old and embrace God's renewal to soar into this new year. Oh, I like it. You know, it's another thing that's very interesting about the eagle. An eagle lets the wind take it higher. There's not a lot of fleshly flapping. And my prayer for you in 2025 is you would just stop the flapping. Because it is not by might, nor is it by your own strength, but it is by the Spirit of the living God. And so what do you say? We let those winds take us higher and higher and soar like eagles in 2025. But the question then is this: how then can I soar? What does it mean for me to live a life that lifts me above the storms? And we're going to take the word soar, and we're going to go through each letter over these coming weeks. But the first one I want to say is S. Number one, if we're going to soar, we must stay in the Word of God. Soaring requires a firm foundation in the Word of God. If you want to soar, you must anchor your life in the Word of God. The Word of God is not just a book of promises. It is a blueprint for your victory. Amen. Now notice what Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 31 and verse 32. Jesus said something very important to his disciples. And I believe that I'm looking at a congregation full of disciples. You know what a disciple is, don't you? A disciple is simply a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no way that we can be true disciples if we're not following his teachings. If we're not applying our hearts to the truths that he has given to us. And so Jesus says something very profound here. He said in verse 31, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Jesus is not just talking about occasionally being in the Word. He's not just talking about when it's convenient to be in the Word. But he's talking about continuing in the Word. In other words, stay in the Word. Amen. Stay in the Word. For as you stay in the Word, then you are my true disciples indeed. Now notice this verse 32. Would you read it with me, please? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this knowing of the truth is not a head knowledge. It's not mentally assenting and agreeing. But this knowing the truth is what the Greeks referred to as epignosis, which means a revelation knowledge down in your spirit. It's the light of God's word turning the lights on for you. And things you have never seen before, now you see them. Now you know them. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you to soaring. And the truth shall set you to soaring. Glory to God. It shall make you free. So when you fill your heart and your mind with the Word of God, you align yourself with God's truth. And the truth empowers you to overcome every obstacle. Do you like it or not? So now one way that we can stay in the Word, or one way we continue in the Word, is to meditate in the Word of God. Meditation is a major key to living the eagle life. And to meditate simply means to dwell on, it means to ponder, it means to think upon. It also means to mutter or to utter. Literally, when you're meditating in the Word of God, you're thinking to yourself, you're pondering, you're dwelling. And then you begin to talk to yourself. Once you see truth, you can talk the truth to yourself. One of my favorite scriptures that I meditate on quite a bit is simply found in Philippians chapter 4:13, and you know it. But this is a scripture that is alive in me because I've dwelt on it, I've thought about it, I've pondered it, I've talked it to myself. And you can do the same thing. It says, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, which strengthens me. Friend, you can do all things through Jesus Christ. You can fulfill the plan of God through Jesus Christ. You can excel in your occupation. You can excel in your education. You can excel in the marketplace. Why is that? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And the Word of God is working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. Oh, say it with me, I can. And I will do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous." Is anybody interested in making your way prosperous? "And then you will have good success." One person says having good success means that you'll be able to deal wisely in all the affairs of life. And so meditation in the Word of God is one way to stay in the Word of God. Of course, I believe we should all have a reading plan. We should all be reading at least one chapter a day. That's not asking too much. We should all be abiding in His Word. And that brings me to my next scripture. Another thing that Jesus said, which goes along with continuing in the Word. Notice this verse with me. He said in John 15:7, if, now that's conditional, isn't it? If you abide in me. Oh, let's talk about that for a moment. If you abide in me. I believe this with all my heart, that abiding in Christ is your foundation for soaring. If we try to soar without a living, lively communion and union with Christ, we're going to fall flat on our face. You see, faith will not work minus fellowship. Your faith will not work if you're not living in union and in communion with Him. So I love this verse. If you abide in me. What does it mean to abide? It simply means to abide in His presence. They that wait upon the Lord, abiding in His presence. It means staying connected to Christ through prayer and through worship and through obedience. It's a continual flow of life, a continual flow of wisdom and strength that comes from Him. As I was preparing this last night, and of course I've been preparing this message my whole life. Somebody says, how long does it take for you to prepare a sermon? Like, my whole life? Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. Amen. Well, but how many hours? There's no way you can calculate the hours because your life is more than a few hours. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And did you know that you are written and read of all men? That you are a living epistle? And so let us live our lives so that we're a good read. But this came to my heart as I was preparing this message. The word soar. Number one, stay in the Word. Number two, stay saturated with the fullness of the Spirit. Stay saturated with the fullness of God's presence. You see, when you abide in Christ, you are rooted in His strength. You are not rooted in your own strength. Notice with me in Ephesians 6:10. Let's read that together. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Let's stop right there. Be empowered through your union. In other words, that empowerment means you will have ability to be strong. You will have ability and be given the strength to do the will of God. So be empowered through your union with Him. Let's read the rest together. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which is boundless might. provides. Oh, that's good. So if you abide in me, Jesus said, and then the rest of verse 7 in John 15, he said, if you abide in me, and my what? And my words abide in you. The word abide there means live. If my words live in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I want to tell you today that his word will help you soar. When challenges come, and surely challenges will come. How many of you are facing some challenges already in 2025? How many of you experience an overlap from 24 to 25? So the turn of the calendar really doesn't do it, does it? Amen? But one thing that we can bet on, and one thing we can be for sure on, is he's the same.
Yes, amen.
In Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, and I don't change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm purposing in my heart to establish his word in my life on this earth. Amen. His word has not changed. His word will not change. His word is settled. Now you need to get settled in the word for yourself. And don't live on borrowed faith. Thank God for other people that will lift you up in prayer and that will lock their shields together with you in a time of challenge. We understand that and we do so. But you must do your part. And not wait for somebody else to use their faith for you and you let your faith lie dormant. I'm telling you, folks, we're living in a season where we need to be prayed up, stirred up, praised up, shouted up, danced up, so we can move up to higher ground. Amen. Glory to God. So if you abide in me and my word lives in you, you're going to ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. His word will help you soar. When challenges come, you can stand firm. Amen. And I love Ephesians chapter 6. It's such a wonderful chapter. And we already read verse 10 and we won't read it all. But if you look at Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 18, you will see the full armor or the whole armor of God. Amen. I'm glad God's equipped us to live in this day. I'm glad that he has given you and I armor that we can live in and that we can wear so that when the onslaughts and the fiery darts of the wicked one come, we are not defenseless. As a matter of fact, the number one piece of the armor that puts you on the offensive is the sword of the Spirit. I believe it's Ephesians 6:17. He says, wherefore, take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, that's what Jesus, Jimmy, used to whip the devil in Matthew chapter 4 in the wilderness. The devil came along with all of his lies and all of his accusations. And Jesus simply pulled the sword out and said, it is written. Then the devil came back another time and Jesus said, it is also written. And the third time he came back and Jesus the third time says, it is also written. And the devil left him. Now, why did the devil leave Jesus? The devil left Jesus because Jesus resisted him.
Yes, amen. Come on, Pastor.
Jesus did not get depressed and all despondent and say, oh, you're right, you're right. He didn't assist the devil. He resisted the devil. And he did it with the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, which is the spoken word of God. Woo, glory to God. And he gave you and I the written word. He gave you and I the sword of the Spirit. He equipped you. He equipped me with anything and everything that we need to overcome and to live in the fullness of the Spirit. So take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word or the rhema of God. Amen? So now, I want to center in on this just for a few moments this morning. Anytime that fear comes, anytime thoughts of fear come, that's the devil. You know it's the devil. God's not putting those thoughts of fear and failure and discouragement in your soul. Those are coming straight from the pit of hell. So anytime fear comes or thoughts of fear come, fear about your future, fear about disease, fear about your loved ones, fear about your nation, whatever it's dressed up in, fear is fear. And God didn't give you a spirit of fear. But he gave you a spirit of power and a love and of a sound mind. There's two things that you can do when these thoughts come. Number one, resist them. Amen. And then number two, replace them. Amen. I heard about this in the 70s. Way, 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 way back in Rhema days. We went to Rhema in 1976. Got married in 77. Hey, what a gift from God. Man, in Jesus' name. But I learned something, Pastor Tom, about something called the law of reciprocals. And what the word reciprocal means, it means corresponding but reversed or inverted. Let me give you an illustration of reciprocals. North and south are reciprocals. They correspond to one another because they're both directions, right? But south is the reciprocal of north. And there is a spiritual law of reciprocals. And it works like this. Whatever the enemy says to you, the opposite is true. Whatever the enemy says to you, the opposite is true. How about this? Here's an illustration. Loser! What's the opposite of loser? The word says we're more than conquerors. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Here's another big lie. You loser, you're losing it. You're losing your mind. What's the opposite? The opposite of a losing mind is a sound mind. So say with me, I have the mind of Christ. A sound mind. You're sick. You're going to die young. The reciprocal is I'm healed. And with long life, he's going to satisfy me and show me his deliverance. Here's another one. Your family was poor. Your grandparents were poor. Your great grandparents were poor. And you're going to be poor your whole life. What is the opposite of poor?
Rich.
That's right. You can say this. According to the word of God, Jesus was made poor that I through his poverty might be made rich. Hey, listen, rich is not a dirty word. Rich is a Bible word. If you will have your act together and put God first place in every area of your life, he will see to it that you have a full supply. Amen. So say with me, glory to God, he meets my needs. According to the word of God, I am rich. So do you see how this reciprocal works? And the enemy comes to steal, to kill and destroy. He walks about as a roaring lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour. His will is for us not to soar. But the word of God says we can resist him steadfastly with our faith. Amen. Now faith is released by word and by actions. Amen. And when we're talking about continuing in the Word of God, it's not just knowing the Word, it's doing the Word. A person who continues in the Word and stays with the Word and wants to soar applies what they've heard. Amen. James says this, but be ye doers of the Word. He didn't say be carriers of the Word. He didn't say, you know, make sure you listen to the Word day and night. That's a good thing to do. But he's talking about being a doer. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a doer. Point to yourself. And say, I'm a doer. I'm a doer of the Word of God. So we're soaring in 25. And soaring in 25 requires strength in your spirit. Now you do know that you are not a body, don't you? You know you have a body, right? You're not looking at the real Pastor Mark today. You're looking at Pastor Mark's outward man. And looking pretty good for 74 years old. By the grace of God. Amen? I didn't always used to be this gray. But there's coming a glory day where the gray will pass away. And it shall be dark hair once again. Amen. But you're not a body. And I think sometimes as Christians, we become more body conscious than we need to be. Now, you need to take care of our bodies. Because your body carries your spirit. Your body carries the real you with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, right? So certainly we need to take care of our temples. But the real you is the inner man. And yea, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed. Woo, glory to God. Amen. The inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, we can cooperate with that renewal by feeding the inner man the right fuel and giving the inner man the right nutrients that will enable our spirit man to be strengthened with might in this hour. Amen. You are a spirit, and your spirit needs to be fed. And your spirit needs to be built up. Yes. I remember fellowshipping with Brother Hagin, and we were with him somewhere, and he says, well, I got to go feed my inner man. We were talking about things and so forth, but he took a break. He was gone for about 15 or 20 minutes. And he was reading the Word, I'm sure, or speaking the Word and praying the Word. You see, he was cognizant of the fact that he needed some nutrients at that time. So don't wait until you're weak to get strengthened in your heart. Let there be a constant flow of God's Word coming into your spirit man. God's Word is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Say with me, the eagle's strength is in his wings. And my strength is in Christ. It's in the Word of God. And it's by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There's no way that we can soar in our own strength. I look back at decades and decades and decades of ministry. I look at Pastor Tom and Pastor Nancy and people that have been with us, not just a couple of years, but actually Pastor Nancy was, before Mark was, Nancy was. I look back and I think, I just thank God for you all. I thank God for all of you. You know, I'm looking at Richard and Lila and Ed and Liz and new people. I just thank God for all of you. What a blessing. What a blessing. But when I look at PT and Kimberly and Nance, I look at Brenda, I know for sure there's no way that we can do what we do in our own strength. We're just not that good. We're just not that good.
No.
But I know one who is that good. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And he is good, good, good.
Yes.
And you know what? We're on his side.
Yes. Amen.
How many of you are on his side?
Yes.
Woo. I'm telling you, he's on your side. He's for you. So you might as well get on over into his side. Amen. And experience the goodness of God. Glory to God, Raul. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Raul, you're not that good, but God is. Hallelujah. And you know what? He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. He gets all the honor. Say with me, for the Lord is good. Say it like this, for the Lord is good. Woo! Glory to God. So when we rely on His Word, when we rely on who we are in Christ, when we rely on His supernatural power, He gives us faith to believe for the impossible.
Amen.
Now, in closing today, the other thing the Spirit of the Lord gave me, He basically gave me three S's for our first S. And there's more. But that's all we're going to cover today. Say it with me, number one. I'm going to stay in the Word. Number two, I'm going to abide in Christ. I'm going to stay saturated with the presence of God by waiting on God. Now, the third S, this is really important. So don't go home yet. Stay put. The third S, another way you and I can soar in 25 and be strong is to stir yourself up.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You don't always feel like stirring yourself up.
No.
You'd rather call somebody else and say, "Will you stir me up?"
Yeah.
I can remember Kenneth Copeland talking about when the joy move hit. Many of you were part of the joy move. It seemed like anywhere you'd go to church, people just started laughing. And it wasn't because the pastor had an ugly tie on. But there was a laughter movement. It was amazing. Rodney Howard Brown.
Yeah.
Kenneth E. Hagin. If you were here in 95 in that two-week Holy Ghost meeting, there was a whole lot of laughter.
Yeah.
But I remember Brother Copeland years ago, you know, he was having a little bit of, not problem with it, but he was having a little bit of difficulty entering in. Anybody ever been there? And I can remember over in Minneapolis him sharing a few things like that at Mac Hammond's church. And he just made the determination that he was going to say these words until it took hold in his life. And what Brother Copeland would say over and over again is, "I'm stirred up now. I'm stirred up now. I am stirred up right now." Amen. You may not feel stirred up, but everyone say, "I'm stirred up."
I'm stirred up.
Right now.
Right now.
Now look at this in 2 Timothy 1:6. I want you to read it with me. Read it with me. 2 Timothy 1:6. Ready, read. "That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying out of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination." Now notice with me this phrase, stir up. Now the word stir up means kindle up. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy, now Timothy, you've got something on the inside of you, but you need to stir it up. And what stirring up means, you need to start burning. To set something alight. Or begin to burn. Another way you could say it is this: brighten or glow and begin to glow in strength and in zeal. Now we talked about how that we're a spirit being, right? Created in the image and likeness of God. But how many of you know that your spirit can become very dull? Very lethargic and very apathetic and become weak. Here's a couple signs of spiritual weakness: a lack of compassion. Or how about this? A lack of patience with others. We have no right to be impatient with others. Just think about how patient God has been with us. Lethargy means the quality or state of being drowsy and dull, listless, unenergetic, or indifferent or lazy, apathetic or sluggish because of inactivity. Can you feel the crowd? They're hanging on every word. Apathy is the absence or suppression of passion, emotion, or excitement. It's a lack of interest in or concern for things that others find moving or exciting. How many of you know the day that David came back to Ziklag after being in war to see all of his wives and all of his children and all of his men's wives and their children taken away? And all of their goods and all of their spoils being taken? Don't you know that was a day that David could have said, I quit. But David did something extremely important that you and I can do when life's circumstances cave in on us. And David's men were not happy. They were very upset. As a matter of fact, David's men actually thought about stoning him. Amen. But what David did is he got away. And the Bible said that he strengthened himself in the Lord. The King James says he encouraged himself in the Lord. David knew how to derive encouragement because David had spent years and years as a shepherd. And out there watching those sheep, he would get psalm after psalm after psalm. And David out there in the wilderness would sing psalms unto the Lord. And David looked back and he was reminded of all that God had already done for him. David looked back and he understood and he saw that the Lord was on his side. And this current situation can be turned around by the grace of God. David said this, hope thou in God. Woo, glory to God. Hope thou in God. And he said, for I will yet praise him, for he is the health of my countenance. One of the greatest things that we can do to stir ourselves up is get our praise on. Get our garment of praise on and keep it on. And you don't have to wait till Pastor Tom leads us into the presence of God. You can get happy in your house. You can get happy in your car. You can get happy wherever you go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So David encouraged of the Lord. Then he inquired of the Lord. He said, what do you want me to do? The Spirit of God spoke to him, go for it, David. And David went for it and recovered it all. Amen. I believe some of you are in a recovery mode even today. Why don't you apply the principles that you're hearing this morning and praise him and speak the word of life and encourage yourself in the Lord and let God be God and turn things around for you. Paul and Silas did the same thing. They were beaten mercilessly. Mercilessly. Thank you. I can hear the nuns saying you pronounced it wrong. Mercilessly. In the will of God, smack dab in the will of God. Paul looked over at Silas and said, you know what we need to do? We need to do some singing in our midnight hour. We need to do some praying in our midnight hour. And when they prayed and when they sang in their midnight hour, it wasn't midnight very long, there was a jailhouse rock. Amen. The foundations of the prison were shaken and everyone's bands were loose. There's no telling what might happen in your life, in your family, if you do some more praying. If you do some more praising. Woo, glory to God. Everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. Do you like it or not? Glory to God. I said glory to God. Glory to God. Paul stirred himself up. You can stir yourself up. Oh, I love it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's praise him for a moment. Glory to God. Let's praise him for a moment. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Romans 12:11 says, be aglow with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Do you like that?
Yeah.
Amen. Look at Romans 12:11 in the NLT and then the Message. Let's read this together. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord. Never be lazy. But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Now, notice the Message translation. Read it with me. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, this last 3 minutes is really important for all of us to hear. Are you ready?
Yes.
See, every one of you have gifts. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift. Here's what I want to do at the top of this year. I want to encourage you to step out in faith and use your gifts. Even if you feel inadequate. Even if you feel inadequate. Even if you feel you don't measure up, you do measure up with him. Stop measuring yourself with others. And be sober about the gifts that God has given you. Now listen to this. Spiritual gifts grow and develop through practice and obedience. If you're going to soar in 2025, part of your soaring is serving.
Amen.
That just came right out of my spirit. Say this with me. Those who serve,
enthusiastically
will soar. This inadequacy thing, it's based on fear and timidity. Don't let fear hold you back. Trust in God's strength and in God's purpose for your life. Put your hand over your heart and say this with me. I know there are some things on the inside of me. There are some wonderful gifts that must not lie dormant any longer. It's a new day. It's a new year. Help me, Lord. To fulfill the entire will and the call of God and the purpose of God in my life. Let's thank him. Come on. He's answering that prayer. Glory to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory, glory, glory. As Pastor Tom comes, I've got one more thing to say. Did you get anything this morning at all? To God be the glory. God blesses those who are willing in heart. The first time I was asked to do anything for the Lord, it seemed like, who, me? I mean, my hair was still long. I still had weights. Jim Caseman asked me to teach his kids a Sunday school class. Are you talking to me? I thought, no way, Jose. But his name is Jim. But you know, in my heart, I knew it was right. Here's the deal, guys. We must be willing to serve. God blesses willing hearts. Use your gift to serve others. Spiritual gifts are meant to build up the body of Christ. And listen to this statement. Even small acts of service can ignite the gift within you. Let's all stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Philip says this, let us not allow sickness to spoil our slackness to spoil our work, but let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning as we do our work for God. Let's just commit to it right now. Lord, we lift up our hands. We lift up our voice. We thank you so much for this new year. We pray, Labraka Sondri, each and every one, that we would soar on eagle's wings this year, overcoming all obstacles, overcoming the challenges that we face. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to ask my wife to come, amen, and pray with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Glory to God. You got anything to add to that, honey? Hallelujah.
Faithfulness.
Yeah.
Faithfulness. The Bible says a faithful man will abound with blessings. Some of you have had really good intentions this past year, and you've got good intentions right now. Don't just have a good intention. Go ahead and step out and do it. And be faithful to what God puts in your heart to do. And you're going to see. I could prophesy it.
Go ahead.
You, Amasita, when you are faithful to do what I put in your heart to do, you're going to see an abundance that you haven't seen in your life. You're going to even see new doors of opportunity that will open wide to you. Don't wait for the what you would call the big thing to open up for you. Start right now with what I have put in your heart to do. Be faithful to that. And more shall be added unto you. I remember even as a little kid, like he was talking about someone asking him, Jim, to ask him to teach his kids Sunday school class. I could not wait till I was able to start serving with the little kids and then becoming youth leader in my church. It all seemed as small little steps. But you know what? Take that first step. Act on what you know to do. And the grace will increase upon your life to even do more and more. Hallelujah. I love what the word of the Lord came through Pastor Mark. Well, if you want to soar, serve. Serve the Lord with all of your heart this year. Hallelujah.